Hi, today's October 7th, 2017. This is MoViews Podcast number 225. I'm Todd Agasawara, and my good friend Jeff Westfall is here with me. We may have another friend join us, but we'll have to wait and see if he's able to come online.
And if he does, he will just come in like a hurricane.
That's what they say. Without the damage and other bad things associated with it.
Well, we don't know. There could be damage.
Okay, so today's almost all Google podcast, right? I think you have one thing in there that's not Google, and I resent you for putting that in there. I kid. Anyway, the first thing I want to mention before we get to the main thing, because I just happened to read this before we started the podcast, and that's Google's planning to fly, has got permission, in fact, from, I guess, FCC and FAA and all that, to fly 30 Loon balloons over Puerto Rico sometime soon to help restore connectivity to that island nation. So I thought that was pretty cool. Read that in Wired. I'll put a link to that in our show notes in our mobileviews.com blog.
The only thing would be make it better would be if they were red and there were 69 more of them.
John, of course, is referring to a very old song. I didn't think you were old enough to remember it. 99 Luftballons is, I believe, the title.
Mm-hmm. Or you can be a wimp and listen to the English version that does exist. But
the other interesting thing is they got permission from the cell carriers down there to use their frequencies. So, you know, your phones down in Puerto Rico, or if you are a resident of Puerto Rico and you have phones on the carriers there, they will work with the Loon balloons because they'll be transmitting on the frequencies that you need. So that's also pretty cool. It's for a limited time. I think it's 4 months. So it's not a permanent solution. But I thought, wow, that's a really cool solution. You know, living in Hawaii, one of these days we're going to get whacked by a major hurricane, and perhaps we'll be able to fly those things over us too. So that will be a lifesaver.
Didn't you say you're about 50 years overdue at this point?
Just about. We have not had not quite 50. We had a major hurricane hit Kauai back in 83-ish. It was a long time ago. It's not quite 50 years, but it's pretty close, like 30 years or something. And we had another one that was pretty close in 90-something. But the Oahu and Maui and the Big Island have escaped some really big ones. So we've been very fortunate, and we're probably overdue to be slammed. I just hope not in my lifetime, but we'll just have to wait and see. Anywho, so Microsoft wished they had such an announcement. Google had a huge plate of announcements this week. I was sort of surprised at the amount of things they announced. I mean, you know, a lot of this has been leaked, but I didn't think they were announcing them all at once. So
Google has gone from the lagging, like, you know, second place in a few categories to being right with number one now.
Yeah.
That's sort of what I took from it, that they looked around, they poked their head up, looked around at what everyone else was doing and said, we should just do that.
Yeah. What I'm going to do is I'm going to go down the list of products that they announced based on the order I saw them on their blog. So blog.google, whatever it's called. And so we'll start off with the big announcement, which are the two new phones, the Google Pixel 2 and the 2 XL. Now, John, I know you're an iPhone fan, so your question is whether or not to go with an 8 Plus or a 10 at this point. But did you take a look at the Pixel 2 and 2 XL just for yucks?
I did. I read the blog posts, and I looked at the video, and they are compelling devices. They obviously depend on you buying into Google, being okay with Google doing a lot of stuff with your data that potentially is cloud-based, whereas Apple has tried to make the argument that their differential is that it's on-device data, so they're not going off it. Although the Pixel does only identify songs that you have on your device, so that's kind of a cool nod to privacy. So depending on which privacy side you come down on, let Google play with your data, etc., I think it's a very nice upgrade to the Pixel line, and I think it brings it on par with any other premium smartphone out there.
Yeah, the thing I found most interesting is that the only major difference that I could figure out between the Pixel 2 and the 2 XL are things related to physical size. So the Pixel 2 XL has a larger display than the Pixel 2. Presumably, it has a larger battery. But other than that, they have exactly the same features. Processor speed, camera, which is, to me, really important. And the reason why I went with the 7 Plus last year, not the 7, because I wanted that second camera. So I was really pleased to see that when I needed to make a decision between one of the two phones, I didn't have to base it on, you know, oh, this one has a better camera, so I got to get the bigger one, even though I really don't want a big phone, and that sort of thing. That was pretty neat. And I ended up buying the smaller Google Pixel 2, which starts at $649. The larger 2 XL starts at $849, by the way. So what's that, a $200 differential just for the screen size? Mm-hmm. You pay a little bit more if you want more storage. But for $649, I get the Pixel 2 with 64 gigs of storage, and I think that's just fine.
I will not... I will be amiss if I did not mention that where is the outrage over the missing 3.5 millimeter jack?
That's right.
On the Pixel 2.
That's right.
I mean, last year when Apple took it out, everyone said, you know, and Google and Samsung made a lot of fun of Apple for doing that. And gee, now it's gone on the Pixel 2. And the Google fanboys that I know have been strangely silent about that.
I think some of the high-end Samsung Android phones don't have the headphone jack either.
I mean, that headphone jack, I honestly think there's an article on Boy Genius Report that argues that the reason it was taken out was to do an all-screen phone, such as the iPhone X. I think it was just taken out because it's really hard to do a waterproof or water-resistant phone
with a big hole
in it. And that connector was never made to be in any way water-insulated or anything. So, yeah, that's an old connector that, while it's nice to have, the writing was on the wall when Apple pulled it out, and all the people who were telling Apple that they were wrong, well, look at your phone in the next few years and see if it still has one.
Yeah, unfortunately, Apple is a trendsetter, and like a lot of things in the last 20 years or so, they have normalized the lack of a mini plug, which I find annoying, by the way, because now I have a fragmented headphone thing to deal with where I have to carry a... Well, I don't have to, but I like the mini plug headphones for my iPads, which could use a Lightning, sure, but I just don't like to. Then I have to carry a Lightning for the iPhone, and I have to carry now a USB-C for my new Pixel phone. So a little bit annoying. I see Frank is online, so I'm going to try to add him to the call somehow. So while Frank is fiddling with his audio, John and I were discussing the Pixel 2 XL. Frank, you on with us yet? Can you hear us?
I can hear you.
Okay, and we can hear you fine.
Okay.
So we're...
How's that?
Okay, so John, as you know, is an Apple fanboy now. so he did read up on the 2 and the 2 XL. And which one did you order, Frank? I know you ordered one of them.
I just the Pixel 2.
Okay, me too. I did not order the XL. Let me ask you, Frank, why didn't you order the XL? I mean, I have it was a combination.
Why I did not?
Yeah.
Price, mainly.
Yeah, for me it was price, but also I just thought, you know, I have the Nexus 6, which is a big, honking, huge phone, and I just said, I don't want another big phone. You know, the XL, the Pixel 2 is just fine.
Okay, so.
Yeah. I see a puzzled look on Frank's face. I think he still has an audio
problem.
That's
better.
Okay.
That's better.
All right.
Well, I was getting microphone and one thing and not to the headset.
Oh, boy. I can sympathize with that. John knows the problems I've been having with, which I think I fixed because I think we're okay now. But, I was just talking to John about it. $649 starting price for the Pixel 2, $849 starting price for the 2 XL. And given that I really didn't want another giant phone, I said, "I'll just go."
Well,
with
that was
too.
That was the other side of it. I mean, I've been using the 6P, which is a 6-inch phone, and I thought, well, you know, I've gotten used to the larger phone, so the size wasn't as much of an issue, but still, maybe a slightly smaller phone would be more handy. So. I mean, if the XL was $649, I probably would have bought that instead. Yeah. So, I mean, it's really about the price. And the 649 was a bit of a, I mean, part of what sold me on it was the fact that they were doing a trade-in, so they're going to give me at least 150 for this 6P.
Yeah. And also, I don't know if you got the deal, Frank, but when I ordered mine, or pre-ordered mine, I guess, I also got a note saying I'm going to get the Google Home Mini.
Yeah, that was – I haven't – you got a note for that, huh?
Uh-huh.
So I have not received a note or anything about that.
Yeah, and I saw the note on the screen when I ordered it, and it said to expect like a voucher in 3 to 4 weeks after you receive your phone or something like that.
Okay.
So I'm looking forward to that because I was planning to buy the Google Home Mini.
Helps.
Yeah. So for me, it's a $50 discount off the price of the phone. And they only offered me $100 for my Nexus 6, so I just passed on that. I said, well, I'll just use my Nexus 6 as kind of a iPod, you know.
Okay.
Yeah. iPod Touch kind of device after it loses a SIM.
Well, you know, in general, it's annoying that all these prices have been, you know, suddenly it seems like it's become acceptable to charge $700 and up, more like $850 on average for these phones.
Yeah, for the premium phones?
It seems insane. Yeah.
Yeah.
Whether it's Apple, Samsung, anybody's, Google's.
Yeah, well, I'm especially disappointed in Google in terms of price because... You probably remember when the Nexus 1 came out, it was $200.
Mm-hmm.
And that wasn't discounted, that wasn't, you know, whatever, it was $200.
Yep.
And even the Nexus 4 I bought, I think, was like $300 or something reasonable. And by the time I got the Nexus 6, it was, you know, it was about this price. I think I got a discount because it was a year old. So I think I paid like $550 or something, but... Still, you know, it was about $300 more than I really would have preferred to pay.
Right.
You know, the other thing I was wondering is, since you ordered the same one I did, cases. Have you looked at the cases available? Because one of my questions, and I haven't gotten an answer from OtterBox yet, is if you put a case on, during the Google keynote, they said that the squeeze feature on the Pixel 2 to activate Google Assistant will work through a case, but I wonder if that's any case. I mean, I don't understand how that would work.
Well, yeah, they did also announce this kind of Google certified accessory deal. So my expectation would be that if you buy a case through the store, through the Google store, that it'll work.
Yeah.
I haven't ordered a case. I mean, first of all, I ordered the clearly white, so I'm not going to get it until mid-November. and that's fine. I mean, I've had a black phone. I've had black phones, I think, for some time.
Yeah.
So I figured, this next one, I'll get a different color. I would have went for the blue if that was available, but that's a Verizon-only thing, apparently.
Right, right. And the colors are somewhat blue. Mostly white, and I forget what the black one is called. Definitely black? I forget. Kind of funny names.
Somewhat blue, clearly white, and just black.
Just black.
That's it was kind of blue.
Kind of blue?
That's what strikes out to me.
Yeah.
But, which is, I think,
it's kind of a it's a kind of a Skype blue, actually, now that I look at the Skype color.
Skype blue. That would be an interesting name for Google to choose.
Yeah. Well, but you know, it would be a perfect name if Microsoft ever got back into the phone business. Skype Blue. I like it. You know,
PowerPoint Red, Skype Blue, Excel Green.
Right.
I mean, you could just go to town with Microsoft.
The Microsoft naming. Quantum Phone in Skype Blue.
Ooh.
Yeah, yours today.
Yeah, 10 minutes of battery.
Yeah,
for a Quantum Phone. Yeah.
Yours today for $2,000. Battery's not included. But
don't give them any ideas, Todd.
Okay, so I think mine... I bought the black one. So I think mine is not as high demand as the white, like, for whatever reason. And I don't know why, because I really like dark phones.
I don't think it's a demand issue. I think they purposely have...
Oh.
Because I went out there during the speech, and the white phones were...
Already?
Saying they weren't shipping for 5 to 6 weeks.
No. Well, you know, it might be, if I seem to recall when Apple first came out with white iPhones, that there was some kind of manufacturing problem with making white iPhones. Some kind of light bleed or color bleed or something. So perhaps it's literally, you know, they're having problems with manufacturing the white cases. But we'll have to wait and see, I guess. Anyway, I'm hoping mine will get here sometime this month. And I'm really looking forward to it because apparently the camera is way better than anything else out there. And the contrast on the screen is supposed to be almost unworldly, out of this world. I think it's 100,000 to 1 versus whatever it is, 2,000 to 1 for almost every other phone in terms of contrast. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't understand how they're going to be doing some of the bokeh-type effects for the camera with only one lens, but lots of smart people at Google.
Well, but isn't bokeh, isn't that effect been something available with SLR cameras? That's true. Real photographers, and those only have one lens.
Yeah. But isn't it because you're using a lens that has curvature to begin with? So when you focus on the and I'm not a you know photography expert, but you're right. But with a lit, and so I think it's basically a big lens effect. With small lenses required up until now, at least two lenses.
Right.
You know, we'll see.
I'm just happy it's going to have, I believe it has optical image stabilization.
Which, yes.
Frankly, I haven't had a phone with OIS ever, I think.
Well, my 7 Plus has optical image stabilization, and it's fantastic. John, what phone are you running? You're running the 7 Plus, right?
Yep.
Okay. So John and I both have experienced that, and it makes a heck of a lot of difference. I want to know if it can do some Steadicam kind of stuff, because that was kind of what was implied, I thought.
The video? Yeah. Supposedly they're combining OIS with their electronics stabilization they had prior.
Right.
And they're saying that's, you know, the combo, the two is the best thing since sliced bread.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
So, John, moldy. Just to let you know, John, so I'm not going to buy any new iPhone this year. Not mm-hmm. 8, 8 Plus, or 10. You're still looking at the 10, I think, right?
Yep, that's still my plan right now.
Anything?
Just to get a smaller device with a larger screen.
Okay, and we can't sway you to switch to Android.
Well, you know, if I didn't just buy a Series 3 Apple Watch, I might be considering it.
That's a good point. That's a really good point. And I am enjoying my Series 3 Apple Watch. Okay, so I'm going to move on. Unless, Frank, you have anything else you want to say about the Pixel 2, Pixel 2 XL? Except that they look really like really fine phones, and I'm really excited to move mm-hmm. from a Nexus 6 to a Pixel 2 because I'm basically jumping three generations. I didn't have a 6P, I didn't have a Pixel, and so I'm doing a three-generation leap in Android, so it should be fun. I hope it'll be fun. And I'm looking forward to the camera because I have to say, even though I think in general the iPhone cameras are superior to my Nexus 6, the one exception is under low-light conditions. The Nexus 6 does a fantastic job of dealing with low-light compared to even the 7 Plus. Okay, next thing on Google's list of announcements was the Pixel Book, which is their Chromebook. It starts at $1,000, and also a Pixel Pen, which is kind of like the Apple Pencil for $99. I'm really happy with the Chromebook I bought earlier this year, Samsung Chromebook Plus, which I paid $454. That is the most money I'm ever going to pay for a Chromebook unless I don't know what. I would never consider paying $1,000 or more for a Chromebook. I don't know. Either of you two interested in this?
Not really at that price, I think. I'm interested. I want to see one. I mean, from what I see, it looks very impressive. And it's certainly got all the specs for a computer that you would expect at about that price range, right? Yeah. It's got a solid state drive. It's, you know, the smallest is 128 gig. I think it comes with 8 gig of RAM standard, if I'm not mistaken, and in the base is an i5.
Right.
The highest end is an i7. So, you know, it's got all the specs that you would want for a $1,000 or up notebook computer, an ultra book, I guess, actually.
Yeah. And, you know, I'm not quite sure what requires those kind of specs in a Chromebook, but I'll tell you that I've got I think my Samsung Chromebook Plus is ARM based. There is also an Intel version called the Samsung Chromebook Pro, but I've got the ARM based one, which I think was custom designed in collaboration with Google to optimize it for Chrome.
And well,
it,
you know,
it
the
is
thing,
lickety split.
Yeah, it the thing fast. To keep in mind, first of all, for the Pixel is that, you know, one of the target audience for that device is Googlers. It's probably the main machine or one of the machines they try to get their employees to use, some of whom are developers. And so they're gonna want something a little beefier. And I think, you know, running Android in Android apps, which is kind of a, you know, I think the approach they're using is kind of a containerization or a virtualization type of technology or a wrapper around some of those things. Perhaps lots of Android apps running in that wrapper might warrant 8 gig of RAM. You know, it might make it run quite better in that situation.
Yeah, if they're making it mostly for the company, but for regular folks, I'm having a hard time. I mean, unless you're just basically a fanboy and you just want the best as fastest.
It's the Google equivalent of an iPad Pro.
Yeah.
That's definitely how they would position it. So that's why the comment that I made as we get through this, I'll talk a little bit more about this, but we're seeing a lot of parity of ecosystems.
Yep.
Where everyone's got this, everyone's got that, everyone's got et cetera. So, right. Yeah. That's, I think, what it's for, basically, to have that parity offering. Right.
And so before I move off the whole Chromebook, Pixelbook thing, one thing I would want, I've said this before, but just to say it again, one of the surprising things I found after I got my Chromebook, and I've been using it, I think, every day since April when I bought it, is that I bought it primarily because it was the first Chromebook that came out of the box supporting Android apps, you know, without installing the Chrome OS beta. And the shocking thing is that I hardly ever use Android apps. And I'm really surprised to say that, because I thought, oh, I'm going to use, you know, the Evernote Android app or whatever, but I hardly ever do any of that.
So didn't you find yourself using the Evernote web app or obviously just web apps when you
use
it?
Yeah, I just use the web apps. You know, I think the only Android app I use regularly is probably the Google Play video app because I subscribe to some TV series on it, and it lets me download it and all that kind of good stuff. So, but I think that's the only thing I use regularly, which reminds me, I need to buy some new seasons of stuff this week. But anyway, okay. So moving on from the Pixelbook, the next thing they announced was something we mentioned earlier, is that the Google Home Max and Google Home Mini, huge price difference, $399 for the Google Home Max, which I think is just crazy. That's like not quite Sonos territory, but, you know, for most of us, that's way too expensive. And the much more affordable $49 Google Home Mini, which is, as I mentioned earlier, I was going to buy if it hadn't been thrown in with my Pixel 2. So, Frank, do you have a Google Home already? I mean, the current Google Home?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
And that was about $200 or $180 or something like that?
I think it was around $150.
Okay. And how do you like it so far?
I'm happy with it. I mean, I have both it and the Echo.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, I picked it up as a, you know, Christmas gift last year, and mostly to just see, you know, keep in touch with what Google is doing in that, in that area. And so, interestingly enough, they just rolled out the male version of the voice. So I've got Google Home is male, and of course, Alexa is female. So it's a little bit of that as far as the assistants are concerned. And, you know, there's some interesting things that Google is kind of trying to do with the assistant. Some things I'm still waiting for the thing they announced at I/O for, you know, displaying information through Chromecast.
Yeah.
Some of the, like, you know, if I remember right, you know, their answer to the Echo Show was, you know, well, we're going to be able to just have you display stuff in Chromecast on your TV. And that hasn't come out yet.
Hmm. So maybe after the home devices are released, which isn't going to happen for a while, right? Not quite out yet. I don't know.
But this was a definite needed move for Google to have that $49 price point.
Absolutely.
To get people into the ecosystem. Yeah. I mean, that was the thing I think that stopped them from really getting a hold in the territory. So I'm really happy to see that Google realized that and came up with their version of the Echo Dot.
Yeah, because even the $150 original version, which is, you know, competitively priced to original Amazon Echo, came out so much later than the Echo, that, you know, the I guess the comfort level with Amazon Echo had already been established, and Amazon already had the Echo Dot, which is amazing in my opinion, for $50, now $40. I'm looking forward to seeing how it works, especially if it, you know, works with my phone well.
It'll be I'd be interested to see how well Google Home is sold.
Yeah.
In light of what you just said. I mean, with Amazon having the clear lead, the advantage of being the first one out there, and a fair amount of marketing. I mean, quite frankly, even I think general regular people probably know about Echo and Alexa.
Oh, yeah.
And know about Home at all.
No.
And
I agree.
So that's tough. And in with Amazon announcing the video, you know, the show, and in the recent announcement with the little alarm clock size, the round, almost Nest size version of the Echo, which obviously Google wasn't prepared to respond to because they have no comparable device, just again shows how far behind Google is in this area.
Right. Right.
This does remind me, though, of a very interesting use scenario that I used with my Echo this week, that if you've never played around with the drop-in feature on your Echo, that's something that is really great if you have family members that might forget to turn their phones back on after a day of work, so they're on silent and you're trying to call and nobody is picking up. Because it will auto-answer if it's your Echo. It'll let you just sort of start talking to it. So that's a feature if people haven't played with on the Echo.
I have never used it.
Yeah, basically it's a speakerphone in the middle of your house that whoever's nearby, you can start talking to them and say things like, oh, you didn't put your ringer back on, did you? Right.
Yeah.
Time for dinner.
Yeah, that too.
Piece of hardware they announced that at first I wasn't interested in, and then I thought about it, the more interested I got, are the $159 Google Pixel Buds, which is basically their version of AirPod, except they wisely put a string in between the two so that, well, I guess if you lose one, you'll lose the other simultaneously, but I think it makes a lot of sense from that point of view. At first I kind of dismissed it the same way I dismissed the AirPods. It's just too expensive for me. But the more I started to think about it, the more I wondered if there was something I would, you know, seriously consider. And the instant translation feature I thought was really interesting. Not that it doesn't exist without it, but the fact that, you know, you can just tap your earbuds. Not quite Star Trek, but pretty darn close to Universal Translator. What did you guys think?
I think, first of all, I didn't find it to be a very attractive piece of equipment.
You mean just from an aesthetic point of view?
Yeah. I guess part of the problem is I find those types of buds pop out of my ear all the time. So that immediately, it's like, that's not going to work for me. It's not going to stay in my ear. And I just, I don't travel. I don't have a need for that translator stuff. I mean, it's cool. It's a good demo, but on an ongoing day-to-day basis, I'm not going to use it. So what's the point for me?
Mm. Well, what about you, John? If you were an Android person, would you consider it?
Well, years ago, my favorite pair of ear, I guess at that point, they were just Bluetooth headsets, had a basically one ear, and then you could also do the dual ears by wrapping around and connecting on the back.
Right.
And since then, I've been a big fan of being able to just use one ear versus having to use both. And if this would allow you to just use one ear, then I would probably be a fan of it. But you have to use both. There's only controls on the one. It's connected together permanently. You can't disconnect it. So it just seems like it's a less flexible arrangement for the same price pretty much as AirBuds or AirPods. Yeah.
And I can't, was it clear? Is the assistant actually built into the earbuds, or is it, it does require,
it requires a phone. Yeah.
It requires the phone, right? So
yeah. So it's
basically Bluetooth headset.
Right. With a special button to turn on translation. Well, not a special button, a special tap or whatever to turn it on. But I haven't ordered it. The next thing I'm going to order is a case for my phone, which I still haven't decided which one. Although the OtterBox is looking like the one I'm going to go with. I know, John, you had some comments about this whole ecosystem thing that we've just been talking about.
Yeah, I find it interesting, and as I mentioned a little bit before, that we've now got parity between Apple, Google, and Amazon. Pretty much everyone has the same options and the same price points where they have options at all. So, you know, the iPad Pro and now the Pixel Book, Apple Pencil, Pixel Book Pen, Pixel 2 and Pixel 2 XL maps nicely to the 8 and the 8 Plus. And I just think it's interesting that we've kind of reached this point. I think it's kind of cool. It's also maybe a little depressing about innovation, but at least this time everyone seems to have copied off everyone else to some extent. It wasn't just one person, sort of one company dominating and everyone copying them. It was sort of a crowdsourced realization that these were the options that people wanted. I'm just sort of worried, and you know, Todd can tell me what he feels about this, but I'm sort of worried that Amazon might now decide they need to release another Fire Phone, and Microsoft will release another Kin, and we'll just have to have everyone has everything, even though some of these groups do not necessarily need to have parity. So that was just sort of my observation. Todd stepped away for a moment. Frank, what do you think? Is this a good thing or a bad thing that we're all kind of converging on the same form factors, same devices?
Well, I think that, I guess the argument that some of these companies would basically make is that then at the end of the day, what differentiates them, at least from Google and Microsoft's perspective, is their software. Right. Google, I think, in looking at the event and the announcement, really emphasized their AI software and their machine learning and the horsepower of Google's software and processing in the back end as being a differentiator of all these devices. And, you know, much more so, you know, emphasis on software than, say, Apple. Right. Mm-hmm. Apple is still very much on the elegance of the hardware, and software certainly is an important supporting role in that perspective, but it isn't their bread and butter. Mm-hmm. And so that leaves Microsoft, right, as the wild card. And Microsoft, yeah, again, their roots is software. And, you know, they've made some good attempts hardware-wise, but my guess is generally in the industry they would be viewed as behind Google and Apple on the hardware front. So personally, I think if it is about software, then Google should have the lead, you know, particularly if it's around AI and machine learning. So it's going to come down to software in hardware integration versus, you know, versus maybe a hardware and software supporting that Apple has. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see which one wins market-wise, or they just can kind of both share.
Yeah, yep. And, you know, Microsoft has a special problem because they don't have anything in the mobile space except the Surface tablet.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, and Cortana, I don't know, I've never found it useful. I will say one thing, by the way, John, because I know John and I have discussed Siri before. It's gotten smarter. After complaining about it for the last couple podcasts, I actually tried it again. And it does seem to be a little bit faster now, which is, I found a little bit surprising. It's still not too smart. It still doesn't seem to be answer a lot of questions, but I have some hope for it. The other thing, you know, just going back to the tablet thing, going back to Google also, is there's no tablet announcement. Do we all agree that, you know, Android tablets are dead, apparently?
Well, they're still selling the Pixel C on the store, last I looked.
But they haven't updated that in over a year, right? Yep.
Obviously, in the Pixel Book flips back, so it does kind of have a tablet mode. But you're right. I mean, definitely tablets have been the weak spot for Google because Android's never really worked optimally on a tablet. And, you know, one can debate whether Chrome OS is really optimized for a tablet mode at all.
And having used a Chromebook for, you know, like I said, since April, and the Samsung Chromebook Plus does fold back to go into tablet mode, I have done that exactly once since I got it. And that was to try to draw with it to see how well it could do, and it was okay. And then since then, never again. And I'll say this much also. Surface Pro 4, I have used it in tablet mode maybe 5 times since getting it in, let's see, April 2016. So about a year and a half or so. It's really not, neither of them are really good tablets. In the sense of iPad is a great tablet, I think. Okay. Well, and you know, I noticed that you were talking about the Amazon Fire Phone, which is a giant flop. There was a rumor a couple of months ago, I think earlier this year in July, that Amazon's working something called the Ice Phone. You know, kind of the opposite of the Fire Phone, but we haven't seen.
Hopefully what
that.
They did was they just did all the work on it and then dumped it straight in the dumpsters right away without having to subject us to it. So that's maybe what happened to it.
Yeah. Hey, you know, I forgot one more Google hardware announcement. It's Google Clips, which is their allegedly artificially intelligent camera. It looks like more like a stalker device to me, but it's kind of expensive. It's $249. It's kind of like a webcam, except it's supposed to be smart. So it's supposed to learn what's interesting and take photos and then stores it locally. And then you can use your Android device, I guess, to decide what to upload to the cloud. I don't know. If I had a little child, like when my daughter was young, might be interesting. Maybe for people with pets. I don't know.
You know, today was my niece's first birthday, and all I could think of when I saw that $249 price point was, it had better make children smile, and, you know, that is a lot of money for something that you have very little control over how it works.
Yeah.
And so if it works really well, that's cool. If it doesn't work well, there's no way you're going to rehab it and repurpose it.
Yeah, this particular product has the feel of, like, Google Glass. It has the feel of being more of an experiment or a developer type of thing than an actual fully baked product. And I don't know of all the electronics or everything in there to whether it justifies that high of a price point.
Yeah.
But I could see how the experiment of this type of image processing and AI controlled image capture. You know, how accepted that is and how well it works would be kind of an interesting experiment. I mean, Google has invested quite a bit in their image processing. Photos is a excellent application and does something useful in helping people sort through their photos. But it does also start to cross over into some of the creepy factor of, you know, of some of the automatic detection and all that type of thing, Todd, like you mentioned, the stalking. So it's kind of, where's the line? You know, what's going to be acceptable to the market. So this, you know, I think at the minimum, Google will learn some things through this. And I think overall is really interesting. A related thing I stumbled upon to this in this area is my hometown high school there's a thing now basically where high schools actually stream their sporting events on the internet. So you can watch them. And so my home school, they partner with this network that does this, and they have some technology that's being used that automatically records the game. In other words, there's software, and it's AI-like, that is actually is behind the camera. There's just one camera with a very wide-angle lens, mm-hmm. and it's following the ball and it's following the play, and it zooms in and out and that whole thing. And I'm led to believe that it's all software that's driving that. And
that's pretty
which
incredible.
I think is incredible.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
And one way I know that it is kind of software driven, it's kind of funny, is that when you get to halftime and both teams go off the field, and the camera gets into this confused state of trying to figure out where to go, so it's panning back and forth across the field, like, where's the ball, where's everybody?
Yeah.
So, but it makes sense that, you know, for something like this where, you know, you're not going to pay to have somebody operate a camera or trust on them, that you would have software. But just the fact that software is capable of doing that in this day and age is just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah. I should mention that Google Clips apparently has a very wide-angle lens, and I assume it clips clips out the center of field for whatever it is of interest. And gives you a regular sized frame. But anyway, yeah, very interesting stuff. But, you know, and we mentioned this earlier, but it really strikes me that except for the Google Home Mini, everything they announce is so darn expensive. You know, this is not the every man or every woman kind of product. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And like, oh, I'll try that.
But kind of what John was getting at, the whole market, you know, this ecosystem thing, is all, it's not just parity in products, but it's parity in pricing too.
Yeah.
And so the whole line has gone up, and you know, I guess there's the thought that if you want to be viewed as a premium product, you got to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and then of course you get the benefit of the margins with that as well. But you know, I thought that part of the point of the Nexus program was to bring prices down.
Yes, it was.
And it's disappointing that ultimately Google gave up on that.
Yeah, I am. Me and my pocketbook are extremely disappointed that it is not more affordable.
Well, we're 2 years out from the death of carrier subsidies. And so we basically, the companies have been able to make the case to consumers, hey, this was always more expensive. You just had a really great deal for a while.
Yeah. Except the Nexus devices didn't have carrier subsidies.
Yeah, that's true. But, you know, it's almost like if the other guy can get that much profit out of a device, then I guess get that much profit too, because I'd stay afloat as well.
So. Well, there's nothing wrong with profit, right?
So. And there's been the acceptance of monthly payment plans, financing, which, you know, Apple kind of introduced, and Google has the same thing. It seems like some people find that as acceptable.
Yep, I
do. The trade-in programs, you know, I mean, I've kind of, what do I do with my old phone? So getting something back, it's helpful. That may help diminish things a little bit. So there are a couple of things. The other thing that Google has out there that we haven't heard a lot about is Android One, which is kind of, I don't understand whether it's a watered down version of Android. I don't think it is. But the devices, this is something they've had outside of the U.S. primarily. But in recent months, there's been, I think there's a Moto G4 that's going to be running Android One, and an HTC device that was rumored to run Android One, which is a more mid-market price. And if that is stock Android for UI and gets its updates and it's, you know, the updates straight from Google, like you do with a Pixel phone, then that might be a viable path. I mean, it would be for me if there were devices available, to be honest.
Yeah, actually, you know, the Moto... I don't know what name, Moto X G4 or whatever it's called, that's available through Google Fi. That is a Android One device.
Right. That's the one I was thinking of.
Yeah. So it is available in the U.S. It's the only one I know of available in the U.S. I don't know what it means either. In fact, I was going to buy that originally until I saw the Pixel 2, and I said, it's more than I wanted to pay, but it's got some really neat features that I'm really interested in, so I'm going to pay the extra money. That said, the Moto G4 is running Nougat. So I'm not sure how many updates it's going to get. You know, one of the problems I had with my Nexus 6 is I bought it middle of its cycle. So I bought it when it was 1 year old. And so I only got 1 year of updates. You know, I never really got past 7.0. I don't have 7.1 Nougat running on mine, which is, and it can't go up to Oreo. So that's the one thing I'm worried about for the Moto product. I believe I read, by the way, that unlike previous Android phones, the Pixel 2 is going to get full 3 years of updates instead of two, which I find interesting.
That helps. Yeah. I mean, well, I'm a little bit of the opposite than you, Todd. I got my 6P just about when it was announced.
Uh-huh.
So I've gone through, when I bought it, it was Marshmallow.
Yeah.
And now it has Oreo on it. So I've been through two full upgrades. And by sometime next year, they'll just start sending security, but it won't get the next version of Android, which is really one of the other reasons why I'm getting the Pixel 2. It's just my 6P is near end of life.
Yeah. I haven't gotten a security update from my 6 in, 6 months, I think. It's been a while. But that's one of the other reasons I'm switching is I've got a old in terms of functionality, OS functionality, so it's time to move on. Anyway, I have to be moving on from the podcast a little earlier than usual. I think John had one other thing about Sonos that he wanted to mention. John?
Yeah, since I will be the representative of the people who pay overpriced amounts for speakers, Sonos threw their hat in the smart assistant field this week. They basically took their Play One speaker, which is the cheapest speaker they have at $200, threw Alexa support in. They say they're bringing Google Home support to it as well. But Alexa can also now control Sonos. So if you have an Echo Dot or an Echo of any kind, you can control your speakers. It's really a nice setup for anyone who has a Sonos system and says, well, I really don't need any more Play Ones, but I'd like to have that integration. Well, I can buy an Echo Dot, or I already have an Echo Dot. And if you're building out your Sonos system, getting the Play Ones with Alexa is kind of a nice thing. As Gizmodo points out, Sonos has started to go toward the Android, let other people partner with us versus the Apple closed garden, because Sonos just works, but it's starting to be left in the dust. So this is a cool thing for Sonos owners to be able to start using Alexa with it.
Especially since Sonos owners paid so much for their various speakers.
Yeah, Todd, you don't want to know how many Sonos speakers I have.
I'm sure I don't. It's way too expensive for me.
But let's just say I can listen to the same thing everywhere I go in my dwelling. So.
Well, I was listening to, before we sign off, I was listening to This Week in Google. And Matt Cutts, formerly of Google, was a guest on the show the other week. And he had a very interesting, they're talking about Sonos and, Amazon Echoes and music following throughout the house. And Matt Cutts said, I just wear earphones, so my music follows me just fine.
And that also cuts out any distraction that your family might throw at you, any emergencies that happen, you just don't hear them. It's great. Yeah.
So that's the other way. If you don't want to buy a bunch of Sonos devices or Echo Dots or whatever, earbuds. There you go. They're cheap, generally speaking, unless you buy the Apple AirPods or the new Pixel Buds, but even that, relative to a Sonos, is still cheap, I guess, if you look at it that way. Okay, folks, at any rate, I want to thank Frank McPherson for jumping in with us to talk about things Google for this week. That brings end the Mobilities Podcast 225. And I should note that, especially since Frank's here, we're heading into our... We're finishing up year 9 this month, and we're going to start a 10th year of podcasting, which... I didn't think I'd ever be doing. So thanks especially to John, who's hung in there with me for many years now on this podcast on a nearly weekly basis. And thanks to Frank for starting this podcast with me nearly nine years ago. And we'll have him back real soon so we can reminisce on things. And hopefully we'll have our new Pixel phone so we can just sort of let John, crochet or something. I don't know what you do, John.
Wait until I get my 10, all just be on with each other, and we can gloat about how great our phones are.
The iPhone notch.
Notch. I was telling, it wasn't John. I was telling somebody, people kept making fun of my Moto 360 because it had that flat tire, which really didn't bother me, to be honest. Still doesn't bother me. And now the iPhone people have their flat tire, too, to deal with, so good on them. Okay, folks, that brings an end Movies Podcast 225. We will talk to you next time.